Let's pray. Lord God, we echo with the psalmist the plea that you will help us to see wonders in your word. Lord, we ask that you would make us receptive to your word, and that through your spirit you would make us pleasing to you as we trust and obey. So Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It will, of course, be useful for you to keep your Bibles open at Isaiah chapter 38 as we look at these verses together. Sometimes we're tempted to wonder if our prayers work. We pray and we pray, but we cannot see any results from our prayers. We beg and plead, or maybe we even bargain, but to no apparent avail. We feel like our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, and so we wonder if we're wasting our breath. We wonder if there's a type of prayer that works and a type of prayer which does not, or if there's a type of person that God answers and another that he does not. Well, I think this passage very helpfully answers some of those questions. And the first thing that I'd like us to pay careful attention to in this passage, which I see in Isaiah's words, is that the Lord hears our prayers because of our faith. The Lord hears our prayers because of our faith. Now, just to give you a little bit of the context for what's happening in this chapter, the year was about 702 BC. And the world superpower, Assyria, were threatening this little southern kingdom of Judah with invasion. Hezekiah was king at that time of Judah. And Hezekiah is noted in Scripture as the greatest king ever of the kingdom of Judah. Judah was enormously prosperous under his rule, which was more righteous than any other. And so we read in verse 1, "In those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death." Of course, we can imagine the kind of personal distress that this would have caused King Hezekiah. But consider too the national distress that this must have caused the nation of Judah. Here was their great king, and they knew that he was close to death, wondering what would become of him. Even so, of course, it was not certain that the illness would take his life. Well, that uncertainty, of course, would have plagued the king's mind, and surely it would have disturbed his people. And so we read in the second half of verse 1, "The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, 'This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover.'" Now, when we read those words, they sound harsh, don't they? They're not pleasant words. But I don't believe that they are harsh words. I believe that they are compassionate, loving words, because the Lord knew that the king would die. The king did not. And so the Lord gave him this news so that the king could prepare for certain death. But how did the king respond? Well, in verses 2 to 3, we read, "Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. 'Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly." I do not think this prayer is presented as a model to us. I do not think the content, the words of this prayer are a model to us. What I think is a model is the response that King Hezekiah had. And that response was one of faith. Hezekiah turned to the Lord and he cried out to the Lord for help. The king knew, of course, that the Lord Almighty had the power to heal this terminal illness. And so the king entrusted himself to the Lord. Well, as Isaiah the prophet was leaving the courts of the king, we read in verses 4 and 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life." Do you see that the Lord does not say that he responded to Hezekiah's prayer because of Hezekiah's righteousness? The Lord was not persuaded to act because of the good deeds of Hezekiah. The Lord said that it was the king's prayer of faith that led him to heal him. The Lord hears our prayers because of our faith. Well, someone has said, all the storehouses of God are open to the voice of faith in prayer. All the storehouses of God are open to the voice of faith in prayer. C.H. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said, believing supplications are forecasts of the future. Supplications are, of course, prayers of request. Believing supplications are forecasts of the future. That's confidence. But perhaps it's best summarized by a man named Robert Hall, who wrote, "The prayer of faith is the only power in the universe to which the great Jehovah yields." Wow. The prayer of faith is the only power in the universe to which the great Jehovah yields. The Lord hears our prayers because of our faith. Now, Hezekiah's mistake when he prayed to the Lord was to appeal to his own so-called righteous deeds, his faithfulness, his devotion and goodness. It is noted in Scripture that he was more righteous than any other king. But the Lord will not answer our prayers because we appeal to our good deeds. The Lord will not answer our prayers because we appeal to our charitableness or our mateship or our fairness or our generosity or even our religious acts. As Isaiah learned in chapter 6 and as we learned last week with Isaiah, before the high and exalted Lord who is utterly holy, we are filthy because of our sin, and even our good deeds are filthy. The Lord did not hear the king's prayer because of his righteousness. The Lord listened and responded to the king's prayer because he called out to the Lord in utter dependence. Hezekiah threw himself upon the Lord. And the Lord will hear our prayers when we come to him like a little child, when we come to him like a dying king. The Lord will hear our prayers when we come in total reliance. Faith is entrusting ourselves to the Lord, and prayer is an expression of that entrusting. But before we become proud of our faith, it is important that we remember that even our faith is a gift of God. Even our faith is a gift of God. Jesus' apostle Paul wrote, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Faith in God is not a natural response. It's a supernatural gift. And so when we pray, we know that the Lord hears our prayers because we are relying upon him and him alone. The Lord hears our prayers because of our faith. Secondly, the Lord gives us assurance because of his grace. The Lord gives us assurance because of his grace. The Lord did not only miraculously give Hezekiah 15 more years in answer to his prayer. He gave him even more, and we read that in verse 6. "And I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend the city." The Lord generously gave the king even more than the personal healing that he had requested. The Lord graciously promised national protection, that the southern kingdom would be protected and untouched by the Assyrian invasion. Why? Because the Lord would guard Jerusalem. Now that in itself was miraculous. It was miraculous because, humanly speaking, Judah had no hope against the might of Assyria. No hope. But the Lord promised something even more astonishing in response to Hezekiah's prayer. And so we come to verses 7 and 8. This is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps that has gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. So the sunlight went back the 10 steps that had gone down. Do you see that the king did not ask for proof of what God promised? He didn't ask for evidence that the Lord had healed him. He didn't ask for evidence that the Lord would shield Judah. But the Lord freely gave evidence that his promise would be fulfilled. In his grace, in his great kindness, the Lord gave the king assurance of what he had promised by a miraculous sign. Why a miraculous sign? Well, because it had to be something that only God could do. That way, the king would know that God had done it. Simple, really, isn't it? Now, we can't explain this event, can we? And the reason we can't explain the shadow moving back 10 units of time is because this is not a part of the natural order which science can observe. It's not a part of the natural order which science can observe. It is an extraordinary event. But historical testimony tells us that the Lord did generously give this conclusive evidence of his answer to the king's prayer. In fact, it was so well known that even the Babylonians knew that this had happened in Judah, which suggests that it might have been a local event where the shadow moved back. But even the Babylonians knew, and if you look at your map, they're pretty distant, pretty far away. Even they knew that the supernatural event had occurred. The Lord gives us assurance because of his grace. You'll probably remember the story of Gideon from the book of Judges. It's a story that's frequently told, of course, in Sunday school classes and is frequently included in children's Bibles. Well, Gideon was unfortunately an example of a man of little faith. An example of a man of little faith. Not no faith, just very little. The Lord called Gideon to deliver his people from the enemy Midian. And Gideon needed assurance that the Lord would save Israel by himself, by Gideon. And so Gideon asked the Lord for a miraculous sign. And what was that? Well, you may remember, to wet the woolen fleece with dew overnight, but keep all of the ground around it dry. And the Lord did that. Just to make absolutely certain, because of course Gideon was not full of faith, he asked for a further miraculous sign, to reverse the miraculous sign. He asked that the Lord would keep the woolen fleece dry overnight, but wet all of the ground. And as we know, the Lord did that too. Something only the Lord could do. Why did the Lord give Gideon that assurance? Because Gideon was better than anyone else in the land? Because of Gideon's great faith? No. Because of the Lord's grace. Because of his undeserved kindness. And the Lord gives us assurance because of his grace. So what certainty do we have that the Lord answers yours or my prayers? In other words, what guarantee do we have that he actually responds to our prayers? The answer is his gracious assurance. Remember, gracious means freely giving what is not deserved. And the ultimate demonstration of God's undeserved generosity was when he freely gave what? His sinless Son to pay the penalty for our sins. And so the Apostle Paul wrote, "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Not some things. All things. "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" If the Lord has given his own Son for us, how much more then will he give us what we ask from him? Just as moving a shadow back was the Lord's sign that he had freely answered Hezekiah's prayer and given him, so Jesus' death on the cross is the Lord's sign that he freely gives us all things. Now, does that mean if I pray for my Ferrari that I will actually get it? I love hearing those questions, don't you? The Lord will give us all things for his glory and all things for our good. And he will answer all our prayers. But will we get exactly what we ask for? Something tells me you know the answer to that, don't you? He gives us what will glorify him and what will be best for us. But he does give us all things. We can be certain that he answers our prayers. The guarantee is the cross. The Lord has generously assured us that he will always answer our prayers. Our prayers are never a waste of breath. Our prayers never bounce off the ceiling. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We honor you for your word. And we thank you for what you teach us in your word. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer as an expression of our faith, as an expression of our dependence upon you. Like little children, like a dying king, we throw ourselves upon you and you alone. And Lord, we know that as we exercise our faith in this way, that you do hear our prayers. And more than that, you give us assurance of answering our prayers. It's not assurance that we deserve. It's not assurance that we've earned. Because that assurance is a gift. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself dying on the cross for us. And so we know that not only do you hear our prayers, but you give us all things. Lord, help us not to forget this. It's all of your grace. Our faith in you is your gift. And our assurance of our answered prayers, the Lord Jesus dying on the cross, is your gift. And so we worship you. Amen.